I want to share a verse with you here from the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 118, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And it says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love," that's his said, his loving kindness, "his steadfast love endures forever." Then the next verse, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love. You are my God, I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So, just have a couple of thoughts to share today as we come together and think about this thing of thankfulness. And again, thank you, Mons and Julie, for what you shared here today in helping us realize what matters most. So what do you think? This thankfulness, a thankful heart, do you think that just comes naturally? What do you think? Are humans just kind of, are we just little humans born just naturally thankful? I remember when I was a kid and we would go home to Grandma's house there in Wheatland, Pennsylvania, 25 Kennedy Street. The little house where she birthed and raised 8 children, Grandpa going off to the steel mill and Sharon Steel. And it was, whenever we would leave that, of course, we'd go there, of course, it was stuffed cabbage it was so much wonderful food and all this good stuff, stuffed cabbage with sauerkraut, it's so delicious, lots of sour cream on it, all the good stuff. But we would get ready to go home from Grandma's house. My Uncle Aaron would always come to the car and hand us kids a dollar bill, a $1 bill. I can still hear my mom saying, "Say, Georgie, Barbara, Jimmy, Donna, tell Uncle Aaron thank you." What does that mean? Why would she have to tell? You know, tell the nice man thank you. That means that it doesn't come naturally. Somehow good. We were excited. We had the dollar bill in our hands. We didn't typically get dollar bills. And so to have a $1 bill in your hand was really exciting. We didn't understand what it meant. Even when we said thank you, we didn't understand what that meant. We didn't understand that Uncle Aaron, who worked the night shift all those years at Golden Dawn Dairy, you know, we didn't understand what that meant for him to then take of what he had worked for to give us. But we would dutifully, as our mom would say this, she'd say, "Say thank you," and we'd say thank you. What that tells me is that this attitude of gratitude, that we live with that, it's something that must be both taught and then on the other end, caught. Both taught and caught. It's been fun this last couple of days for Leanne and me with the grandkids here. Did I mention how happy we are that they're here? So, going to tell you this. It was really fun because just on Thanksgiving Day, I don't know what, remember what, I had some little stuffed animal, little toy, Josie, who was sitting there a minute ago. But as I came by and she saw it, and she went, "Papa, hey, Papa." And then she said this word. I couldn't believe it. She's 16 months. She went, "Please." I went, "What?" And I walked over. And she said, "Thank you." I went, "Huh? Good job, Marissa. Good job." I mean, wow. And then what happened here with Violet, who's sitting right over here in the green dress, that Violet was there, and I heard her mommy say to her, "Violet, would you like to take a nap?" And she said very sweetly, "No, thank you, mommy." Good job, Ryan. It's been both taught and caught. Here's the thing, if we aren't taught to say thanks, then what we end up doing is we go through life, and we go through life basically thinking that this is something we've deserved. That's why I so appreciated your song this morning, Justin, that you're asking the question, you know, this love that we've received, did we do something to deserve that? Something that we assume that, oh yeah, I'm getting this because it's coming to me, because I deserve this. We know that's not true. It's silly. We know that each day, I mean, like I asked earlier, you know, did I do something yesterday that meant I deserved to wake up this morning? No. This is gift. Quick question. What two places in the Bible, and actually it comes down really to two individuals in the Bible, say thank you most often? The word thanks and thanksgiving is used most often in these two places. Anybody want to take a hazard a guess? We just read from one of them. The book of Psalms with this boy David who grows to be a king, he says thank you, thanks, thanks, thanks. Who's the other place? I heard someone say Paul. Paul is the other one. Paul is the one. You got David and you got Paul are the two places where we hear the word thanks and thanksgiving most often. We're going to go back and do a quick remember from last Sabbath. Acts 27, verse 35, but 33 and 35, look at this. The day was about to dawn. Remember, they're in the storm on the sea. And Paul says, take some food. Today is the 14th day. You've been in suspense. Everyone figures they're going to die and drown in this storm. There's no food. 2 weeks. What a storm on the Mediterranean. Take something, he says. Let's keep going. Next verse, 34. Therefore, I urge you, take food. It will give you strength. Not a hair from your head is going to perish. He was there giving testimony. The angel of the Lord has revealed to me, we're going to survive this storm. We're going to survive this fire. God's going to bring us through this thing. Let's keep going. The next verse, verse 35. What does Paul do in the middle of the storm? When he said these things, he took bread and did what? Gave thanks. He takes bread and he gives thanks to God. By the way, Luke, who wrote this, was on ship. He was on board. He saw him. And he says, he gave thanks. He broke it and began to eat. Now, what happens? They land on the island. They crash onto the island of Malta. The ship breaks up. They catch broken boards. Every single one, 276, make it alive onto that island. And you're going, whew, okay, now God took care of us. Everything's going to be fine. What happened next to Paul? Let's go to the next verses here in verse chapter 20, 28. We are brought safely through. We learned the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness. They kindled a fire and they welcomed us. It had begun to rain. It was cold. Remember, it was winter. It was in November that this was happening. Let's keep going. The next verses. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, say what? A poisonous snake. A viper comes out and fastens onto his hand. Boom. And of course, all the people go, oh boy, he must have been a murderer. They knew they were all criminals. These guys all had chains on. And there they are with their chains. And he gets hit with this. And the native people saw the creature hanging. They said, oh, this man's a murderer. Though he escaped from the sea, justice will not allow him to live. Isn't that interesting? People who didn't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. These are people who have that sense of justice in the universe, right? The image of God is there. And they say, no, he wouldn't let him live. He, however, shook the creature off to the fire, suffered no harm. And it goes on to say that the people went, whoa, he's not a murderer. He must be a god. They start bringing gifts of food to him and all the rest. Anyway, it ends up that Paul's there. He heals people. And then they're there. They finally get through the winter, and they then are able to take a ship, you know, continue their journey. How exciting is this? You get to go to Rome to stand on trial for your life. Here's a man. Does he have reasons to not be happy, to not be thankful? Yeah, look what happens. Let's keep going. Let's go a little further in Acts 28. And by the way, Acts 28 is the last chapter in the book of Acts. This journey we've been on all the way from back at the beginning, back there in September, all the way through. And here we are. We made a circuit. We arrived at Regium. After one day, a south wind sprang up. The second day, we made it to Puteoli. And let's keep going. Next verse. And we found brothers. They invited us to stay with them. Isn't this something? The message of Jesus had already made it to Puteoli in Italy. And there were people there, and for 7 days they were able to stay in their home. And then something interesting happens, and so we came to Rome. Do we have the next verse, verse 15? And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far, the brothers in Rome. Paul had written a letter called Letter to the Romans. It's in your Bible. 3 years earlier. The word gets carried when they landed on shore when they stayed 7 days. Someone went to Rome and got the message. And people from Rome who had received the letter, they come as far as the Forum of Appeal. That's 40 miles. No taxis in those days like Rome has today. No, you know, no Uber drivers. 40 miles to come and three taverns to meet us. Another, what is that, like 20, 28 miles away from Rome. People came in. And what does Paul say? Paul thanked God and gave courage. It's thanks, 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 thanks. Look at the words that Paul writes while he's in chains in Rome. We go quickly to Ephesians or to Philippians. Look at his words. He's writing with chains. You got to see this. He has chains as he's writing these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He's close. The Lord is there. So we've been saying to each other and sharing together, saying, look, you go into your room, you close the door, you open the Word of God. And what did Jesus say? You go to your closet, and God is in the secret place to meet you there. The Lord's at hand. He's here. Don't be anxious about anything, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you live like this, what's the result? Here it comes, the next verse. I love this one. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Remember, I learned that. We all learned it in King James, right? The peace that passeth understanding. As a kid, I had trouble getting those words out. Peace that passeth understanding. There it is. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I look at this and I go, what a picture. And we ask this one more question this morning. What is at the heart of David's gratitude and Paul's gratitude? These two men who speak thanks, thanks, thanks again and again through Scripture. What is at the heart of their gratitude? I think for David, we can think of those first words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Those are the newer translations. When I was a little boy, I go, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I go, no, I do want him. I tell my mommy, I'd want him. So the King James was challenging there. The newer translations say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. That, for David, is at the heart of his thankfulness. What is it for Paul? What is it for Paul? We go to 1 Timothy. By the way, 1 Timothy is the letter that was written after Paul got out of prison, 2 years in prison, and Caesar, Nero, against all odds, let him go. And during that time, he went, and actually, the scholars believe he actually went as far as Spain. He went sharing the message of Jesus, and then Nero went, well, he's being too successful. Boom, they brought him back, and that time, he did not walk out of that prison alive. But here he was during that time when he was free, he wrote a letter to Timothy. Look at what he tells us. Here's his first words. I thank Christ. Just go look in when you have time this afternoon, you look in your index in the Bible back there, and just look at the words thank and thankfulness and see how much are from Paul and how much is from David. But he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. He goes, I didn't deserve this. There it is, Jason, or Justin, there it is. He says, I didn't deserve this. He goes, I thank him because he actually, my name was Saul. I was being a stormtrooper for God. I was busting in people's doors in the middle of the night and dragging them off to prison and to their deaths. I know. I thank him. Let's keep going. Next verses, 13 and 14. I was formerly a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man. But I obtained mercy. I did it ignorantly and humbly. I thought I was doing God's will. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. You can think the word jihadist right here. That's another whole sermon. Another for us to think through what's going on in our world. But here he is. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was being the most destructive force on the planet. And here's God. I don't deserve this. Let's keep going. And the grace of our Lord, I love this. The grace, here it is, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is not a bad way to live. Can you think of a better way to live? With exceeding grace? How do we define grace around here? God giving me what I don't deserve. Mercy, God protecting me from what I do deserve. Grace, God giving me what I don't deserve. And it's exceedingly abundant, and this faith and love are just being poured into my life. And here comes the kicker. Here's the heart. What does he say? Next verse. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all. Other translation, everyone should accept this statement. Saul said it. This is something every one of us, if we want to have gratitude in our lives and not think all the good things come because we deserve them, we get to know this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You say, well, Pastor George, my name's not on the evening news. I didn't go out and do some heinous crime. And, you know, I mean, there are chief sinners, but it's not me. Oh, don't forget. Remember, it's that one turn. It's boom, one. Here, simply go, hey, that apple looks good. Hey, try that. Look, try that. And here's Adam who says, I love you so much, I would die with you. Steps over the line. I love you so much, I'll die with you, Eve. And then the Lord shows up, and what does Adam say? It's her fault. Let her die instead of me. That fast, we go. See, the turn from being other-centered to self-centered is that. It's the line, Saul Genetson say, it's the line that runs down of good and evil down the heart, center of the heart of every human being, to make that step, to make that turn. This is how we know Christ Jesus came to save all of us, of whom I am chief. And when I know I'm chief, and I know I didn't deserve it, then everything is gift. And if everything is gift, I'll never forget. In fact, Matt, you don't remember this, but you were the little boy. We were in Wadsworth, Ohio, and you were on the back of the bicycle, those dangerous seats they used to put on the back of bicycles, and I had my little guy on the back there with no helmet. And me, I remember the Lord had broken into my life. You've heard me share that story with Grace, and I ride out to the city park that morning, and it was foggy and misty, and you know, he was on the back of the bike with me, and we're riding out, and I stop in front of this tree. And all at once, the sun broke through, and it was just, I'll never forget that moment. It was just coming through this tree with no leaves on it, and the words just came so powerfully. Everything I have is a gift. Every heartbeat, every breath, my wife, my son, my sons, my daughter, our grandchildren, everything in our house, here we were just starting out, and you know, and my grandparents gave me an old bed, and you know, and everything we had in the house was a gift. And it just like, it broke through. Everything I have is gift. And here's the reality. Praise team, come on up, but here's the reality. The reality is this. If everything we have is gift, if our religion is grace, then our lives will be lived with gratitude. If everything is gift, everything is grace, then everything that I live with will be gratitude to the one who has given so much. Happy Thanksgiving indeed. Lord God, this day we give you thanks. We are amazed at your grace. Lord, you know everything about us, and yet you're the one who's willing to lay down your life that we might have life in Jesus' name. And we thank you and we praise you this day for a love beyond our comprehension. No, we did not deserve this, but you have gifted us life in your name, Lord. And we live our lives now to the praise of your glory, lives of gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And may that sweetness of the thank you in our lives be a sweetness and a blessing, a sweet fragrance in this world. If you want to say yes to this God and thanks to him this day, just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm saying thank you to you, praise you. Lord, may my life be to the praise of your glory. Use me. May I be a channel of your grace, your blessing, your light to shine in darkness, and the darkness never overcomes it. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, and all God's people shouted, hallelujah.